God. So at this time, Pastor is going to come forward now and amen and give us our message for the day. Amen. The gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Thank God for Pastor George D. Cutler. Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this hour. We thank you for this opportunity. Such a great blessing to be able to come and through your word, understand and dwell in the essence of the blessing that you have bestowed upon us as sons of God, heirs of God, my Lord, joint heirs, that which belongs to Christ. Now, Father, we ask that you continue to bless us this day and continue to give us the illumination and elucidation of all things as you have purpose in our lives. Father, I ask that you touch my body this morning that I might minister the word of God. And then bless these lips of clay. Bless us in this hour. So we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise God to be able to come before you from time to time as I am still recuperating. Amen. And for the information of those that are watching or listening, the schedule that we are on, I will do 2 Sundays on and 3 Sundays off. Until, amen, we build up our strength a little better. But we thank God that we are able to stand here this morning and do ask for your prayers as we go forth.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me this morning to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And from it, I want to drive home the point that we are presently in the heavenlies in Christ. In fact, repeat that. We're presently in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 makes that very plain, as it states the essence, blessed, high praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us with each and every spiritual blessing, where? In the heavens. And where the heavens? In Christ. Somehow that escapes our daily functioning and thinking.
Amen.
And so this morning, I want you to turn to Philippians 3 and 20. And unfortunately, Orthodox Christianity has fallen short in positioning us in Christ in the absolute sense of that's where we actually reside.
Amen.
The advantage of this is that it places us conscious-wise where we are, and where we are is the place of joy, the place of peace,
yes,
happiness,
yes,
the place where we are exempt from all alarm.
Hallelujah.
But we don't know that if we are like, and I'm going to use Ellen Liberman's example. He didn't copyright it, so we shall use it. But remember the story of the Wizard of Oz, and she had an accident and went into unconscious, but she was laying in her bed in Kansas, but her conscious was in Oz.
Oh, remember.
And all of the wizardry and the trickery and all of the things that besought her, the wicked witch, and all the alarms that went off.
All of them.
Amen.
Oh, have mercy.
Come on with it.
Things that frightened her.
Frightened her.
Yeah.
Disappointed her.
That's right. That's right.
Hmm? And the things that were so real to her were but where her conscience was focused.
Uh-huh. Come on, Pastor.
That's it.
And so this morning, as we turn to Philippians chapter 3, it is our desire that God's people focus on where we actually are.
Actually.
Yeah. That's right.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
I was teaching the young people some time ago, and one of them, as we began to focus on the essence of in Christ and the spirituality of in Christ, they made the statement, so that is the real, real.
Yeah, real, real. Real, real.
That's it.
Amen. See, where Dorothy was, she was not. And ours was not the real real. The real real was that she was in her bed in Kansas. Surrounded by loved ones and safe. And so the things that we go through in life
each day,
they're in ours. They're not in Kansas. Ours is in the matrix.
Praise Jesus.
And using the analogy, Kansas, amen, is in the heavenlies in Christ, which is where we always have been.
Have been. I'm always.
Always. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so focused on time.
Oh, focus.
Oh, have mercy.
And it's to rain trouble, heartaches, contentions.
Yes.
And it's the mention of fear and challenges until it wipes out the appreciation of us being in Kansas in our bed.
Hallelujah.
Right.
As Dorothy was.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Some time ago, well, not such a long time, I'm still recuperating, while I was out a couple of years, basically almost year and a half anyway, I was privileged to write a book which sometimes in the future shall be published. It is called Salvation's Eternal Benefit. Repeat that. Salvation's
Eternal
Benefit.
Benefit.
This is what we shall focus on this morning. The fact that because we're in Christ, there, and we're safe. Salvation means safe. If you do not understand that you are safe, then you do not understand your ultimate benefit of salvation. No matter what menacing effects were on Dorothy and ours, none of them could have touched her because that's not where she was. She was safely. She was safely, amen, in a place where nothing in ours could actually affect her.
That's true.
That's it.
And that's where we are.
Come on here.
As sons of God, heirs of God,
heirs.
Journeys of that which belong to Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Before the creation of the foundation of the world,
absolutely,
we were placed in Him according to Ephesians chapter 1, which gives us the benefits in chapter in verses 4. 5 and 6, according as He chose us, what?
In Him.
When? Before the foundation of the creation. And that's where you are. And you have never left there.
Never.
But your conscience is dispatched to earth in many forms. We come here as infants.
Yes, glory to God.
In consciousness. And then we go through the several stages of what we call life. Amen. Which are merely the representations of the testimonial experiences of ours. We really are not even in the earth. We are on the earth.
Yes.
We're on the outer shell of the earth. And in actuality, the earth is in the solar system. And the solar system is in the galaxy, which is the Milky Way.
Yes.
And the Milky Way is one of billions of galaxies in the universe. And according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, everything, including the universe, is in Christ. Amen. And so the essence of where everything is in Christ. In Christ means that we are safe and secure. Amen. We are not ultimately effectuated by the things that are around us. And so, this information that is given to us in the mystery writings of the Apostle Paul are there to give us the comprehension of where we are for the purpose of letting us know who we are. And in knowing who we are, that is members of the body of Christ, we know that we are safe and secure from all alarms. And so what's going on in the various stages of our lives? Some is infants, some is toddlers, some is children, some is adolescents, some is teenagers, some is young people, some as middle ages, and then those in my category, they call the old folk. A senior citizens, I guess that's the way they express it. It's time. But whatever form you are in, it is an experience in ours.
Come on with it, Pastor.
That's it.
As the elect of God, His chosen one, you are in Christ and have never been out of Christ. So everything that's going on around you is merely testimonial. That's going to be very important for God's people. Because as the terrain of time plays out in its different operations of manifestation. Many times, unless you know where you are and who you are, life is going to wear you out. Beat you up. When you should be happy, you're going to be miserable. When you should know that you're safe, you're going to walk in fear. When you should be satisfied as well as gratified, you're going to feel let down. Paul, as he went through the different litanies in 2 Corinthians, as he went through the different litanies, he spoke of the things that basically confronted him and his response to them. And the difference was, amen, as he went through the different trials, eternal consciousness allowed him to see that he was not in the matrix in time, but he was in the heavens in Christ Jesus.
In Christ.
And so, instead of being disappointed, he recognized that the effects of that were confined to the matrix.
Only.
He was encouraged.
Hallelujah.
because he was illuminated of his place in the heavenlies in Christ.
Yes.
This is going to be very important.
Very.
As you look around in the world today,
very.
There continue to be many challenges.
Yes.
But to know that eternality, in eternality, everything is complete.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Finished.
In time, there are problems.
Mm-hmm.
In eternity, all problems are solved, resolved.
Hallelujah.
Hmm?
Hallelujah.
In time, we cry.
Mm-hmm.
In the heavens, in Christ, we rejoice. And this is why sometimes he allows us to rejoice in the midst of trials and troubles and tribulations. Oh, my God. Because we know who we are and where we are.
Hallelujah. Yes.
All right. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader.
Nice.
Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Remember now what we aim is to understand that our present venue,
mm-hmm.
that we are presently where?
Mm-hmm.
In the heavenlies.
Yes.
And where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
In Christ. All right? Brother Deacon, why don't you start off here with the King James. And I'm going to have to kind of slow down and go a little slower here. Amen. And I want all of you ministers to get your Greek lexicons out. Yes, we are going to go into exegesis this morning because actually what our mode of ministering is going to be what is called in theological circles textual natural. In other words, we're going to pull out and we're going to go through the syntax in order to draw out the semantics. Syntax is what? That's the language and all of its rules. And from it, we will draw out the semantics. What's semantics? That's the meaning. The meaning. The meaning. The intended thought conveyance. Amen. Now, here at the Grace Gospel Church, from time to time, we are going to basically explain our mode of and methodology of ministry. Each time someone stand up here and say, let's turn, and then we go to the King James, and then we have before us the Greek interlineal. Basically, we use the Greek interlineal because he has the Greek scripting from the copies of the manuscript. No one has the autograph or the actual original, but the copies. Because these translations were drawn basically from those who had at their disposal the copies of the manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
Here we end to the Greek because in the so-called New Testament, which includes the Grace Testament, we don't have time to get into that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Greek grammar. So the King James and other translations were gleaned from those who went through and interpreted or brought out the translations from what they interpreted the language to convey in its meaning.
Yes.
All right, with all of that said, now we still are going to exegete, and this is why I've asked all of the brethren this morning to break out their Greek lexicons, because what we are going to do is give the exact meaning in its in-depthness of verse 20 and 21 of Philippians. All right, now with all of that said, Brother Deacon, why don't you start with verse 20 and 21 in the King James. Now, if you don't have the Greek interlineal, you may just use what translation you have, and it'll follow pretty closely. We won't lose you. Amen. All right. Brother Deacon.
We're reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20.
Everybody got that? Amen. Everybody got it? Amen. All right.
And also verse 21, first from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For our conversation.
See, that's why we exegete. They dug out the word conversation, which they interpret as basically manner of life. But we'll deal with that. Go ahead.
For our conversation is in the heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Okay, now let's go to the interlineal. And here, we will move slowly through it and probably not finish today, and I will be back, if the Lord wills, next week to complete this. But we are going to very, very, very slowly move through this, because what is the actual meaning? Where does this place us? Because many receive that and they just think that it's just a matter of a conveyance that's speaking of your mind, and then you focus futuristically on the heavens. Because basically that's how we treat it. You say, when I die, I'm going to heaven. Not understanding that the heavens preceded time.
Yes. Yes.
Preceded the matrix.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Preceded you in the flesh. The problem is, in theology, we have been taught to place time on an equilibrium with eternity.
Yes.
And this is the way that I thought until the light came.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We have time. We have eternity. Mm-hmm. They call it eternity past. Then time dissects eternity. Mm-hmm. And then we have eternity future. This verse here dispels that thought that eternity somehow is past and somewhere waiting to resume. What it conveys to us is that the actuality of existence is in eternity. And time is merely a creation or a capsule in eternity. So eternity has never been suspended.
Never.
And this is where the Greek syntax will take us this morning. So the Greek syntax will basically convey to us our eternal venue of where we are for right now, but we're talking about an eternal now. Rather than we use that word rather loosely. Everybody said now.
Now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That one's gone.
Go. Go.
But when you say eternal now, you're talking about existence, and existence is about what is.
Mm-hmm. What is.
And what is. And can't be anything else than what it is. What happened when Dorothy woke up to find out she was in Kansas? What happened to Oz? It was just a, it was imagination, like you said. It was a dream. Somebody said, well, are you saying life is not real? No. It goes further than that. Time was created for the purpose of testimony, a manifestation, the actual of the events in time are brought into existence through God's saying. He said, I was a child once, and that's why I was a child.
Absolutely.
In time, in manifestation.
Come on here.
But while I was a child, I was still his child in eternity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. And all of the things that we think that we possess in time, in eternity, they are merely testimonials.
Yes. Amen.
Were they real? In the truest sense that God spoke them.
Yes.
They were real, but they were real only as they were real as experiences in manifestation and time. But none of these things ever moved us
never.
From eternity. Are you all following us this morning? If the Lord allows you to grasp this, then life takes on a greater meaning than the fact that you're going through phases and stages, and then at some point you're gone, you're out of here. I mean, the essence are you were never really here in the sense of where you actually are.
Amen.
Where are you?
In
the heavens. Where are the heavens?
In Christ.
And this is why Paul wrote one time, he said, Christ is my life.
Amen.
So here we have these glorious eternal benefits. And of course, you can't appreciate a benefit if you don't know that you have it.
Amen.
Can you appreciate a blessing that you don't know about? No. And many of us, we only appreciate God and think of God as a responder. We get in trouble and he responds. Something gets broke and we ask him to fix it. And all along, it was fixed. At the same breath, it was broken.
Come on here. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because it all occurred where?
In the same. Yes.
All right. Let's walk through this as much as we can today, and then we come back. Amen. Yeah. We call part two. Amen. Next week, the Lord willing. All right? Read. Everybody got Philippians 3:20, say amen.
Amen.
All right? Read.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Of us for the citizenship in heavens is. From where also...
Stop. As we look at this, the first word there is it's a pronoun. Mm-hmm. Imam. Mm-hmm. Ow. Mm-hmm. For us. For our. Mm-hmm. Hmm?
Yes.
It is imanga. That is for our. For our. For our. In other words, basically, it is a continuation as the Greek conjunction ga is a subordinating conjunction. And so it means that what he is getting ready to say completely overshadows that which he had in the previous antecedent verses conveyed. In those verses, and I'm not going to go back through them, amen, he had basically said until them that we have the basically excel over the things that are around us. So now, if I was going to brag on something in the flesh, I would talk about the fact that I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and all of the other things, accolades that we put on such a high echelons. And I'm trying to the meaning of this. But whatever you accomplish out there, in Christ trumps it.
Trumps
it. It overrules it. Because it says, I had risen up above those that are around me. But those things that I thought were gain, I count as loss for this excellent knowledge of Christ.
Yes.
Because through this knowledge, I'm found in him not having my own righteousness, but through the faithfulness in Christ. And so this, I made know, having known the power of his resurrection. What it means to be co-raised with Christ. And to sit in the heavenly places in Christ. And so through this I see the fellowship of his suffering. Being made more conformable unto his death. And by any means I might obtain, is going to be in the physical, in the spiritual rather sense, of the spiritual realm of being co-raised with Christ. Because all of the other things I have just mentioned, I am passing and they will pass away. And so I'm continuously looking forward and above, rather than horizontally and behind. Follow me now. As I press toward the mark, it is the excellency of this knowledge that places me in the heavenlies in Christ to enjoy the eternality of the heavenly benefits, which is what salvation is about. Salvation is not so much about in time, it's about eternity.
Hallelujah.
So, well, does not it benefit in time? Yes, but from the vantage point of eternity.
Amen. Yes.
When I was coming up sometimes, I used to hear them say, come on to God and your troubles be all over. And then people come and look like their troubles just start. And that was puzzling. Now look at Paul. It seems as if his troubles didn't begin until post Damascus. Before Damascus, Paul was healthy.
Yes.
Before Damascus, Paul was pretty well off.
Yeah.
Yes. Even he said, I excel above the peers who are around me.
Yes, he did.
That's pre-Damascus, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Pre-Damascus. Mm-hmm. For the record, pre-Damascus.
Jesus.
Post-Damascus. That's after Damascus.
Yes, yes, yes.
Paul was the poorest man and the sickest man and the most troubled man you've ever found. But he had more joy post-Damascus than he ever had pre-Damascus.
Yes, he did.
Glory to
God. Yes, he did.
Because in post-Damascus, he understood the essence of in Christ and where he was and where he is and who he is.
Yes, he did.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Yes.
In post-Damascus, Paul looked down upon life.
Mm-hmm.
He looked down upon time from eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Which gave him the understanding of the goings on pre-Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
So to really, 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 really come to the awareness of life, you must first know who you are.
That's right, Pastor.
And who you are is your knowledge of who God is.
Amen.
And who you are in relationship to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And who you are determines where you are.
Where?
Mm-hmm. And so, basically, he said, do not be like those whose God is their belly. That is, their God is sort of proportionally appreciated to their earthly possessions, to their earthly so-called accomplishments, to their earthly storing up of things that they call their own that are really not their own. Because nothing on the earth is your own.
Glory to God.
I hear you.
Yes.
I hear you.
Thank God. Oh.
So as he starts this verse here, imago, of for all, the next word here, which the King James translate conversation, a manner of life, is the Greek word politema. 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 It's actually translated place of citizenship.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Your citizenship.
Yes. Yes.
Your citizenship is where you reside.
All right.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
That's your permanent place of dwelling.
Amen.
Our problem is, many of us misconstrue and misunderstand, and we think we're citizens of earth.
Come on, hear it.
My friend, you're only a visitor to this earth.
I hear you.
Citizenship is your residency, and your residency is where you get to stay.
Oh, glory.
Nobody gets to stay on the earth.
Amen. I hear you. I hear you.
Bring that God.
Yes.
It reads, follow me now, nobody lose me. Iman God to Politama. in Uranus. Here, you have the preposition ings in the dative case, which would either make it instrumental or what? Locative. Locative. Instrumental would be by the means of, and locative would be what? In the sphere of. So he's saying here that your citizenship is in the sphere of, we have the Greek now, Uranus, which is plural, heavens. It's dative. So it is locative. Now, here this is telling us that your place of residency is in the heavens. What he is trying to convey to these Philippians is that with all that I have conveyed to you concerning things in the matrix, things on earth, things that you have experienced, these are all passing. Because this and none of this are your possessions. So is Uranus epaki.
Yes,
Lord. Uranus epaki. You have to put the two together. Epaki basically speaks of where your possessions are, where your property is, where your means are, where your resources are.
Hallelujah.
So basically, it is telling us that the true essence of what you have is in the heavenlies in Christ. Give the Lord a praise.
Yeah.
And that's where you reside.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you know, if you understand that, life won't disappoint you so much. There are times I've gone through certain things. Some of you know some of the trials I've gone through. And even as I've went through sickness, it was always present in my mind. That this was an experience in time.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Not the essence of who I am and where I am in eternity.
Not at all. Glory to God. Not.
Where you actually are.
Actually. Yes.
Oh, I know. Your flesh, my flesh, it resonates more than with than what I can touch, taste, see, physically encounter. These are all connectors to our flesh and to our fleshly thinking. Here Paul is trying to move them as he writes this. Because where is he when he wrote this?
In prison.
He was in prison. In prison. And you notice how he starts off.
Oh, have mercy.
He tells them that I am a prisoner of the Lord.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Oh, yeah. He was confined and incarcerated, probably in a cell, awaiting, he didn't know what. But he understood that the jail cell that he occupied was in ours. And so he said, I'm a prisoner of Christ because I realize that in actuality, I'm in the heavens in Christ. Give him another praise. Hey!
Hallelujah, Christ.
all of my possessions, mm-hmm. my property, mm-hmm. my hope, mm-hmm. my aim,
mm-hmm.
aspirations,
are
in Christ. You were in Christ before you ever encapsulated in these bodies.
I hear you.
Ephesians 1 and 4.
Yes.
According as he chose us, where?
In him.
When?
Before.
Before. Pro. Before. 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 What does before mean? It's prior to.
Amen.
That means that's where you are first.
Amen.
First.
Before the creation or foundation of the world.
First.
Separated. Without blame.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Before him.
Hallelujah.
In his presence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
You are in his presence in eternity. Eternity hasn't gone anywhere, and you are in his presence now. In eternity.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to
God.
Well, I in time. Your conscience in a capsule. For the purpose of testimony.
Yes,
well, isn't God in time? He's timeless.
Yes.
When in consciousness, the fact that time is in eternity places everything in eternity.
Amen. Amen.
What do you really think this little dot is about? We call the earth.
Amen. Amen.
It's not even one of the larger planets. And the Milky Way, of which the solar system is in, contain many stars, and that's all the Milky Way is.
Amen.
The sun is. It's a star.
Mm-hmm.
Billions of them.
Yes.
What do you think you really are? You said, well, I'm on the earth. Yes. In the capsule of time,
mm-hmm.
for testimony's sake,
mm-hmm.
in your consciousness,
mm-hmm.
yes. you're on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But where are you really? In Christ.
In Christ.
Where everything is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to take a more advanced view of life.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the vertical view.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
I had an accident in time. In eternity, there are no accidents.
None.
I lost my job in time. There are no losses in eternity.
None.
I hear you.
None.
I hear you.
That's it.
None.
My loved one died in time. In eternity, there is no death.
Right.
A separation
no.
for those
no.
whom he has called
Hallelujah.
And placed
Hallelujah.
As his own.
Hallelujah.
You've got another praise.
Praise him. Hallelujah.
And I see my time is just about gone, but this is what Paul basically could say as he writes to Timothy and he is getting ready to exit this life. He speaks to the end of saying, I have fought the good fight of faith. That's really the only fight we have.
Praise Amen. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Believe in what God says.
Yes, yes, yes.
More than what we see.
Yes.
I hear you.
Good God Almighty.
So I finished my course because the Lord had given him that revelation. He say, for me there's a waiting crown of righteousness. And we get into this next week where Paul tells them it is from the heavens that you are waiting the manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God.
Of your conscience being awakened to all the gloriousness of your inheritance and what you really possess.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
And so when Paul said, there's a waiting me, he was not talking about being on the earth waiting for heavenness to consciousness to come to him.
Glory to God.
He was saying, I'm in the heavenly.
Amen.
Waiting for the manifestation,
mm-hmm.
of the earthly consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm knowing who I am and what I am. And so Paul was never disappointed. Of who and what he was and what he encountered. And so next week we will start from there. I want you to take this with you. You are in the heavenlies. You are presently in the heavenlies
in Christ.
And it's from there that you are waiting the next stage.
Yes, Lord.
And from there you can say, as the old song conveys,
hallelujah.
Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance.
Blessed. Blessed.
Jesus is mine.
Jesus is mine.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
I mean,
I have salvation in the heavenness of Christ. Purchase of God in the heavenness of Christ. Born of his spirit in the heavenness in Christ. Washed in his blood in the heavenness in Christ. This is my testimony. This is my song. And from the heavenness, I'm not praising God all the day long. I'm just praising him. Because there is no time limit in the heavenness in Christ. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.
Amen.
Glory, glory, glory.
Thank God.
Give God a hand. Praise. Hallelujah.